When we talk about our soul being set on fire, we're talking about allowing the power of Almighty God to take charge of who we are. When we're talking about we want our souls set on fire, we are talking about being able to know that God has said, this is what I want you to do. Now, many times we will argue with God. Often, we just turn and walk away from God. That's the undisciplined individual. One of our great problems is that when the Lord touches our heart, when God calls us, the call is great. We know it's Him. We know what He's called us to do. Sometimes He will let us know that He's going to build us up to the ultimate. Good gracious, folks, Moses was 80 years old. 80 years old before he went to lead the Hebrew nation out of bondage. No wonder he was saying, why me, Lord? Think of it. But God said, look, I want you to have the discipline to trust Jesus. I want you to discipline your life through trusting Jesus. I want you to focus on who Christ is in you, because we happen to be the temple of God, not this building. When this building falls down, the temple of God continues. Each individual is the temple of God when we allow Jesus to come in. Remember, I've told you in Revelation, we see where Jesus is knocking at the door of the church. Will you let me come in? How much more so do we see today? And people say, well, I just don't understand. I don't either. I don't understand the love of God. I do not understand God's total purpose for my life. But I do understand this. God calls each of us to be about His business, and it is His business what He's called each of us to be about. And God says, this is what I want you to do. And yet, because of the lack of discipline in trusting Christ, well, I've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my life, but now what you've asked me to do here, you know, I'm just not comfortable with. Do you realize that I'm not comfortable with most of the steps that I take in life? Do you realize that your pastor, after preaching for 40 years, when I get in this pulpit, when I start focusing on God's Word, I'm as nervous as I was the first time I ever preached a message, because I don't want to mess it up. I don't want to mislead. I do not want to say something that is not scriptural. Therefore, the discipline that I must have and others who fill pulpits must have is the discipline to trust Jesus for your sermons, for each step that you take for your life. This story of three undisciplined men took place 1 week prior to our Palm Sunday. Okay? This is not his final week, but a week prior. And he's walking on his way to Jerusalem. And as he walks down the highway, he has all sorts of individuals that come up to him, talk to him, and all. That was his ministry. He was on a highway going to Jerusalem. You and I are on the highway that God has placed us on, going to the New Jerusalem, going to heaven to be with the Lord. And on that walk, God says, I'm going to put in your way certain personalities. You're going to meet them. You're going to greet them. And I want you to tell them about my Son. But without the discipline of trusting Jesus, I won't do that. Well, Lord, I think there's somebody better than me to do it. And you better be careful, because God may say to you, well, there's a half a world better than you to do it, but I chose you. See, it's all in God's choosing. And then it goes to our choice. Do I choose to listen to God's choosing of me? Do I choose to listen to God's call into the ministry He's called me into? Luke 10, first part of verse 2, I want you to listen. He's looking at the congregations around him, multitudes following. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Without the discipline to trust Jesus, I cannot be His disciple. You got me? Discipline, disciple. If I refuse to discipline myself to follow Jesus, I cannot be His disciple. God did not call me to preach His word and say, Larry, I want you to do it and change any of the words that you think you need to change. He didn't say that. He said, be my voice. Read my word. Listen to me as I personally talk to you and share with you the love that I want you to give away. So even to the unlovable, God says, I love you. Lord, I'm a mess. You're my mess. I love you. God always sees us in our total completeness standing before Him. You and I look at each other and ourselves as in this world and in the human body. You're not going to have that body much longer. But you got a good one coming up. A glorified one. Those who have accepted Christ. As we look at the story, first undisciplined man is alongside the road and he volunteers. People volunteer, continue, volunteers. But then, when he volunteered, Jesus said this to him. Luke 9:57. Now, this individual was a scribe. He was a lawyer of the law. You got him? He knows the word. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Wonder how many times since creation God's heard that one. Well, Lord, I didn't know you was going this way. Or I didn't know you were going that way. But the promise was, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus looks at him and he replies, foxes have holes. Birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Becoming homeless for the scribe was not a starter. He was already set well, all were. The scribes and all had their home, had everything that they would need, like a modern family of that era. And Jesus says, let me tell you, I don't have a place to lay my head. I don't have a home. I'm homeless here on earth. And the scribe turned away. No, I can't accept being homeless to follow you. Well, I got a maid over here, Lord. Let me take your message. The message of life is this, my friends. To the homeless in spirit, that's our calling. To those who see themselves as unwanted, that's our calling. How do I know? That's where Jesus was, in the ditches of life, walking down the road, not walking down the road in his fancy suits or in a fancy robe, walking down the road, looking like all the others, but making a difference. And yet the call, and God looks at the heart, and that scribe's heart was not right. He was not interested in becoming homeless to serve the Lord. Now, Lord, if you'll do this for me, I promise you I'll go to church on Sunday. Really? You going to try to bargain with God? And God already knows you're going to lie about that one too. If we will not serve as God has called us, then we will not serve God. If we do not serve Jesus Christ here on planet Earth, we will not serve Him in eternity in heaven. I'm just waiting till the right time for me to get saved. Getting saved is not a part of my control. It's God. When I recognize life. The second undisciplined man. Now this guy really did something that you and I would say today, I cannot believe that happened. Listen to it. He got invited by Jesus. Invited by Jesus. Luke 9 verses 59 and 60. He said to another man, follow me. Now, you is understood. Follow me. I'm looking at you. Follow me. But the man replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. He would not trust Jesus. He would not focus. When Jesus gave him the invitation, he said, I got to put the dead first. Do you really think that when you turn your life to Christ like that, and in those traumatic areas of life or death or whatever, when that takes place, did you actually think at all that Jesus would not have been willing to go with him? But he put the dead first. If he had put Jesus first, how would we know that? We got the book. I know the stories. And every time he was trusted, every time he was trusted, he would always bless those around him. He raised the dead. I mean, I think that's pretty good work. He would cause the blind to see, the lame to walk. His love was given to the unlovable. But we must have our discipline to follow Christ. We must discipline our spirit. How do you do that? Read the Word. Not only do we discipline our spirit by reading the Word, we discipline our spirit by following God's Word. Doing what God has called us to do. But can you imagine? We should be able to. Because you see, I did not love Jesus before he first loved me. I did not initiate contact with Jesus. I did not initiate my contact with Jesus. He initiated contact with me. And he said, you follow me. Look what he said there. Follow me. What an invitation. The invitation is still open today. The invitation is out there. You follow me. And as we may say today, I will follow you anywhere, Lord. Then why do we not follow him? Is it because our spirit is undisciplined to trust our Savior? Is it because others say, well, you don't look right. You don't act right. You know, I don't know whether you'll make a good Christian or not. Who in the world are these people? God does the initiating. He called this snotty-nosed kid from Buffalo, Kentucky Hill to preach his gospel. I didn't ask him to let me preach. Frightening. Terrifying. To stand and say, thus saith the Lord thy God, and after studying the Word of God for so many years, realize that the person who does that without the heart of trust for Jesus is a liar and the truth is not in him. That's why I shake. That's why I want to get it right. That's why I have to study harder than most people. My brain is not that brilliant. It's the Spirit of Christ that saves. Not my thoughts. Not my feelings. Well, I don't feel good today. Maybe I'm not saved. That's about where we place salvation. When the Lord says, follow me, he says, come, for I will abode with you when you invite me in. I'm knocking on your heart's door. Let me come in. What do you have the law for, Lord? Eternal life, eternal peace, eternal joy, eternal everything to this promise. You will never see death. You know the way death is portrayed with the sickle and the whatever it is that it is portrayed. If you've been a prison chaplain, you see it in many different ways. Jesus says, I got you. What does that mean to those of us who are ever in combat? When you think, Jesus says, I got you. But I sure don't have me. I don't understand. The Lord said, then discipline your spirit. Have discipline to allow my Holy Spirit to teach you, to lift you up when you're down, to hold on to you, to protect you. Trust me. And that takes discipline, doesn't it? You know why we're short on trust? Too many people have betrayed our trust. Far too many people. But I want to assure you of something. God says, I am not a man that I would lie. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Not only do I have this, I have you. Trust me. Lord, it's awful lot of hurting times going on right now. But Father, thank you for letting me be born in a generation that I did not go through the horrors of life in your generation. Really, we think we have it bad? Have you paid any attention to the rest of the world lately? Jesus says, I will bless you, and yet we force him out of our schools. We force him out of our community centers, and the world is on the march to force him out of our heart. And it takes discipline. These people are slick talkers, aren't they? I mean, they promise everything. What I never understand about us as human beings, they always promise the same thing every time there's an election. Education, health care, and I always promise. If somebody had kept their promise, how come we've been going through this for 100 years? But God says, count on me. But don't you dare put the dead first. For I realize something, folks. If I do not put God first, I have withdrawn the protection from my own family. When I put God first, God says, I got this, Larry. I'll watch over them. I'll be with them. And you know what? He does a lot better job at it than I ever did or ever could. Listen to the last man. Undisciplined. He volunteered also, but he made a big mistake. It's the mistake that you and I see made all the time. Luke 9, verse 61-62. Still another said, you know, they're listening to each other walking down the road. You know, they're wanting to hear the praise. Oh man, you're going to follow Jesus. Good for you. No, they just said it. They didn't really mean they're going to follow him. It just sounded good. Still another man said, I will follow you, Lord. Yeah, I wonder how many times again Jesus has heard that one. But first, really? You'll put a but first when you're telling God that you're going to follow him? But first, I thought following him meant that he's first. I thought we said that all the time, God first in my life. And yet as soon as somebody calls us close to us or whatever, we said, Lord, you're just going to have to hang on. That is not wise. That is an undisciplined spirit. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. See, they were not disciplined to trust Jesus. You know what he's missing? Read the stories about Jesus. He would have been blessed to have gone back and the Son of God, God incarnate, came home with him. But no, I must first go back and say goodbye to my family. Jesus replied, listen to this. No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. You cannot follow Jesus looking back. Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember the story of Lot and his wife. And the angel said, whatever you do, don't look back. Whatever you do, don't look back. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying. You look back, you had a greater desire for the world and the sin in it than you had to look forward to me. Or I would have given you rest. I would have brought peace to you. Jesus says, when have I ever let you down? You and I have no answer for that. Because the answer is never. It has never happened. Things that have never happened don't exist. So Jesus letting you and I down, the possibility does not exist. It ain't happening. Because God is in control. Thank God that he gave us an invitation that we would come and he let us know, I'm already there. You come too. Don't ever attempt to go out into the world. Don't ever attempt to go until you've come to Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the blessings that only you can give. We praise your name, Heavenly Father, that you remain in control. Forgive each of us our shortcomings. Help us, Father, to find peace within our own heart. Help us to see your joy of our salvation, the salvation that you have given us. Give us direction. Give us strength. Give us courage. And give us boldness, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.